Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
and happy St. Patrick's Day. This is Sunday night murder and mayhem, but we're cutting the murder out tonight and just going with the mayhem, and we're celebrating St. Patrick's Day with all this fun. I am JCA. You're listening to A Team of Voices. Want to thank everybody involved in that. Deb, thank you. AP, thanks in the background. Everybody else, thank you in the background. And without further ado, let me bring in my co-host, Sweepy, hello.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really good, actually. Feeling great, living the life, doing
good.
A lot better than I have in years. So I'm really feeling great.
Good.
And let me also bring in Rack and Tour. Hello, Rack.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm looking for shillelaghs and rainbows.
Shillelaghs and rainbows. We'll bring you a, there'll be a pot of gold somewhere. I don't know where, but somewhere. We might not find it, but hey, it's there. I'm sure of it.
It's Tijuana gold.
Oh, my gosh, maybe, we going to get banned for that? No, I'm joking.
No, not at all.
It's legal in most states.
Most states, yeah.
Oh, man. That's great. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, and how is everybody doing on this fine day? I'm going to go top of the morning to you. Okay. I had to do that.
Top of the morning. Well, you know, I am waiting for what are you going? Like interrupting the redhead. Don't interrupt the redhead. We get a little cranky, you know, because I'll be bringing some of the redheaded tables out there to see what you all believe. So I'm pretty interested in that. First off, I want to say, blondes are noticed, but redheads are remembered.
So. Clever.
Yes. I got to admit, redheads are remembered. It's, you know, I try to avoid the one that I remember as much as possible. they got pretty much a good temper to them too. So there you go. You know, I've noticed at a time redheads either want to kill you or love you, one or the other. There's nothing in between.
Oh, I think it's both, just depending on how you turn us.
They'd love to kill you.
Yes, exactly.
Love to kill you. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've had my run-ins and some shares with the redheads myself, so I understand that completely. Well, it says St. Patrick's Day drunken party. Well, I don't think there's anybody drinking as of yet. So,
well, we haven't yet to get started now.
Oh, geez. Yeah, everybody lift a shot, take a drink, and let's go at it.
So it's up to you to bring me other, because I'm dying to hear about the heist, just FYI.
Oh, I will. But have you ever heard of the the Roxanne drinking game?
No.
No, when the song hits by the police?
It's the song by the police. You'd have two teams or two people. Every time that they would say Roxanne, one side would drink. Every time they would say turn on red light, the other side would drink. No one is standing after the song. Just saying.
Wow. No, I don't think they would be.
Yeah, that's all that song says. Roxanne, turn on the red light. Roxanne, turn on the red light. Yeah, that song says. Yeah, I played it one time. That was a mistake. All right, let me, I guess I'll go into the story of the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum heist. This was a very interesting thing because this is the most expensive museum art heist in history. Back in March 18th, 1990, it was actually the 17th was St. Patrick's Day. And at 12:30 a.m., on the side of the door, some people noticed some of the partygoers on the night of St. Patrick's Day noticed a hatchback with a couple police inside of it, kind of near a side door of the museum. It was on Palace Road. In the museum itself, two security guards were employed watching the museum. One, his name was Rick Abeth, and the other one was Randy Hestand. Now, Abeth was a veteran guard, was there for a long, long time, and Hestand, this was actually his first day on the job. Now, they had one thing where one of the security guards would be patrolling the museum while the other one would stay at the guard post watching all the cameras and stuff. During that night, all of a sudden, some smoke alarms went off. And while Abeth was on patrol, and Abeth went to check out the smoke alarms, and there was no smoke, he went back and looked at the cameras, and there was no smoke on the cameras, so he thought it was a malfunction, so he disabled the smoke alarms. Now, at 1:20 a.m. while Hestand was on patrol, two police officers buzzed in on the side door, and they were there because someone reported a disturbance. And they were buzzed in at 1:24 a.m., and they were thought to be police. When they went in, Abeth was at the desk, and they asked him if there was anybody in else there. He called Hestand to return to the guard post. And while that happened, the two fake police officers went ahead and handcuffed them. They then took duct tape and put the duct tape around their eyes so they couldn't see. And here's some very interesting stuff. They led them downstairs to the boiler room without assistance of knowing where the boiler room was. They didn't need any directions. And they went ahead and they started robbing the place of all of the, not all of the artwork, just several pieces of art, which they chose in a few of the areas. There were two galleries that they mainly picked off art from, and there were sensors in each of those galleries that followed their track and said how long they were in those particular galleries. Let me see. And what they ended up happening is they ended up, after they took all of that artwork, put it towards that side door, they were actually able to find the cassette of the audio, I meant the video, and take that from the closed circuit area. And they were without, you know, supposedly knowing where anything was, they found it right away and took it with them, so no one had the video surveillance. At 2:40 to 2:45, they removed all the artwork out the side door, and the whole crime took a total of 81 minutes, and it was over. The next guard shift found the crime scene, and the cops found Abeth and Hestand bound up. At the time, the crime was said to be worth $200 million, and today the estimates are up around $600 million.
Wow.
The artwork includes Vermeer, who only 34 known paintings had survived, and that particular painting is estimated at $250 million alone. There were three works by Rembrandt, including his only seascape, which was estimated at $140. One of the paintings was by Govert Flink, who was a friend of Rembrandt's, but the painting was thought to be one of Rembrandt's for years, but was found out. Also stolen was a bronze Gu, which was a Chinese kind of a ceremonial vessel that they drank out of
from the Shang Dynasty in 12 BC, five sketches by Degas, also a one by Manet, and also an imperial eagle from a flagpole that was on a Napoleon flag. Now, there were some very interesting things that they did not take the most expensive works of art, which included art from Raphael, Botticelli, and Michelangelo. So they were specifically targeting Rembrandt, stuff that looked at like Rembrandt and stuff like that. In 2017, a reward for the art was increased by Sotheby's and Christie's auction houses to be $10 million to help find it. So if you can help find that art, you'll get $10 million. that'd be nice, huh? But ultimately, there is a bunch of theories behind everything that happened. And I'll go over some of the theories. And theory number one actually deals with one of the security guards. Now, as you noticed, there was a lot of stuff that I mentioned. There was motion sensors that actually tracked where the thieves were. Now, the problem with it is they said that Rick Abeth, the security guard that's been there for a long time, he was the only one to go into the blue room where Manet's poem was. And the thieves themselves never entered the blue room. Also, during the security walkthrough, his patrol, it said that Abeth opened the side door and shut it again. So, in essence, there's many people that think Abeth himself was an inside person within the crime itself. So he is, and there's another thing that connects him to him with another suspect behind this. Now, let me tell you right now, to this day, these artworks have never been found, and no one has ever been charged with the crime. Another person, and I'll go into him next since I mentioned Abeth, was Brian McDevitt. McDevitt tried to rob the Hyde collection in Glen Falls, New York, dressed as a FedEx driver. You know, there's a lot of similarities in that they say that he posed as a cop in the Hyde attempted robbery. He was dressed as a FedEx driver. Now, what he did have on him at the time of the attempted heist of the Hyde collection is he had handcuffs and duct tape, same thing that was used during the crime of the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum. And here is what he tried to target at the Hyde collection was Rembrandt paintings, works from Rembrandt. Now, he ended up moving out. He denied everything, but he refused to take a polygraph test. He moved out to California where he became a con artist and actually conned his way into becoming a TV and film writer. And one of the films that he wrote was about an art heist where the thieves actually burned the artwork in a fireplace and buried two pieces of art that were made out of bronze in the ground somewhere because they couldn't burn those. And it's just very convenient that during the heist, all of the paintings had disappeared, and there were two pieces of bronze, which were the French imperial eagle from the Napoleon flag and the bronze Gu from the Shang dynasty. So that is one of the theories, was that McDevitt, Abeth, and another person that I haven't got the name for worked together to try this. And another thing that kind of combined the two is Abeth and McDevitt lived in the same neighborhood in town. So there's a possibility that they knew each other. Now, another theory behind it is that it was the mob, the Boston mob, Whitey Bulger. I'm sure you've heard of his name, but they're saying that there's a possibility that the Boston mob used influence and kind of used this as leverage to get what they wanted in certain type of situations. Whitey denied it. He even said that he sent people to try to figure out who did this because he wanted a cut of it. and they said that it could have been Whitey because he had connections to the Boston PD and could easily get police uniforms. So there's a possibility there. Another one is a convicted art thief by the name of Miles Connor. Connor said he cased the museum in 1974 and actually found it as an easy target. But he says he knows who did it, but he didn't commit it because he was in jail at the time. Now, there's other people that said he was the mastermind behind it. He says he can get the art back and that it was actually a con artist by the name of Bobby Donati, along with his partner, David Houghton, who stole the artwork. And he's trying to bargain a way out of jail right now with telling the FBI, yeah, I can get your artwork back. And he's trying to get the FBI to drop charges on him for art theft that he's currently serving time for. So that is the story of the largest art heist in history. And I thought everybody would love to hear that story. And it happened, it was a St. Patrick's Day story. So what does everybody think of the greatest art heist in history?
That's crazy, but I do want to say hello to our second guest host. That would be Pretty Bird, and also to Hatter, who's actually driving, and he will join us when he gets home. But to the naughty side of tonight, let's welcome Pretty Bird.
Hey, Birdie.
Hello, hello. Sorry,
she just joined us. I know, she just joined us. So I will comment on the greatest heist. First off, I think it's crazy about all the theories. What about the theory that they were all involved? Because I don't know if all of that could have gone on without several different angles. But I do believe that one of the guards had to be involved because somebody had to be on the inside. Absolutely no doubt somebody had to be on the inside to just say, hey, policeman, come on in. No ID, no nothing. I'm just going to spend all kinds of time in the basement while I take all of these great works of art and set them by the door and then go in and erase the tapes. And, yeah, no, somebody had to be on the inside because I don't care what you're doing as a police officer. There's no fire alarms. There's no burglar alarms. There's no nothing. But the cops are just taking the artwork to the side of the door. No curator, no. You don't take million-dollar paintings or whatever and just hang out by the door and put them in a little Pinto. Yeah, no. There's white gloves. There's security. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, somebody with some kind of common sense should have been around. Just not policemen in a blue suit going, hey, let's handle this painting with no, you know, protection on it, no anything. I don't know. I've seen little itsy-bitsy works of art that they handle like, you know, the gold. We're not just slamming this stuff in the back of a tiny car. So, yeah, somebody had to be on the inside is my theory. Strange things happen. Yes.
Yeah.
Is this the one, because I missed most of it and I apologize, is this the, if this is one that I'm thinking of where they still haven't found the millions upon millions of dollars worth of art, they weren't real cops.
Correct, they weren't.
Exactly. Exactly,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
I actually watched a thing on this like last month, like the whole story of it, and it's a little bit crazy. And, you know, I mean, not for nothing. If anybody's going to steal anything, I mean, do a damn good job, and they did a damn good job.
Yeah,
they're saying that Abeth was the one because the fact that Hestand, this was his first day on the job, so he wouldn't understand where all of the stuff was like Abeth did.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out if somebody was on the inside. Yeah, somebody was on the inside. Somebody was on the inside of somebody to get in there. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, because if the rule is don't open the door, even for the police, then don't open the door. I mean, there was
And Abeth was the one that opened the door up for him.
Yeah.
On paper, I don't know that it works out because they didn't have de Monet to buy Degas to make the Van Gogh.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the reason I'm going to tell you what, the Miles Connor theory, the reason he said if it would have been him, he would have stolen the more expensive ones like the Raphael, the Bocelli, the Michelangelo, those real works of art, even though the Vermeer was worth $250 million. They're saying that those other ones are worth even more. And he says he would have taken them. So that's why he says that he didn't do it, even though other people think that he was the mastermind behind it.
From a shady standpoint, though, it's easier to move something that's going to draw less attention. I mean, Vermeer is Vermeer, but, you know, everyone knows Rembrandt and all the other names, the Botticelli. You know, that's way more recognizable and probably harder to you know, do something with, as opposed to a Vermeer that, you know, is probably, you know, equally gorgeous and obviously very expensive, but, you know, most people are going to look at it and, you know, on Antiques Roadshow and go, oh, it's worth how much, you know?
Yeah, and that's what that's why they're saying McDevitt was the key suspect behind it, because he wouldn't have known as much about all of those artwork. And a problem was is there was a major heist in Europe at the time that they caught all those people over in Europe. So there was extra heightened thought behind trying to move these pieces on to the private black market. It would have been harder to get them into the black market side of the house since the authorities were looking closer at the time.
Well, somebody got their hands all over it.
Definitely.
Hey, you know what? Let's finish this discussion and then go into the little bit of a party with. I'm gonna go ahead and read the poem that I wrote called "Where Is the Rembrandt?"
All right.
And it goes like this: Boston streets planted with shamrock glasses and leprechaun hats, pot of gold on framed museum walls, bronze goo and a French imperial eagle, galleries stepped by play police, and the unlocking of side doors, 81 minutes of artwork poaching unsolved in this St. Patrick's Day heist poem.
Nice, JCA.
Talk about the luck of the Irish.
Yeah, talk about the luck of the Irish, yeah.
I wonder if that's how they got away with it, because everybody was just in Boston. They're drunk off their asses. Nobody was paying attention. They're like, hey, it's St. Paddy's Day. Who's going to care about a few paintings and a few cops? I really wonder if that was part of the plan. You know?
It was a distraction, yeah.
Yeah, you know? Who's not drunk in Boston on St. Patty's Day, including the cops?
They're
all Irish. I'm just asking.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I mean, I don't know an Irish Catholic cop that isn't Irish. I mean, they're all Irish Catholic. Well, I'm just a bit of a stretch, but stereotype, but, you know. But I love your poem, by the way, because it does talk about all of that in one day. But, I mean, good Lord. Why not steal art? People don't think, see, art is important. People still take art. It's very valuable.
Because money is important.
Yes, money is important.
Well, there could have been added security on some of the other paintings, you know, and that's why they targeted the ones that they did, because, you know, sometimes they've got, you know, things on the backs of the paintings that you can't move them and stuff like that, that maybe somebody knew about and it just wasn't in the papers, you know?
Yeah,
during
the, when they stole the Vermeer, they actually had a sensor that went off if people got too close to it, and that the thieves actually destroyed that sensor.
But it's the cops.
Yeah, they smashed it to pieces. And they said they waited a certain time to see if the cops were going to actually show up.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this heist. A lot of layers. A lot of questions.
Yeah. I wonder how long they planned it. Like who they paid off, who they made promises to. It's crazy to me.
It's very questionable, because if you listen to Miles Connor, he said that one of the people that he worked with, Bobby Donati, who he believes did the heist and has the artwork, they cased the joint in 1974, and then in 1990, when Connor was in jail, is when the heist took place. So that was 16 years, if Connor is correct.
That's a lot of patience.
It is. He said he would have never do it. He was actually he said it was going to be an easy heist to accomplish, but he wanted something bigger. So he was looking at the Museum of Art right across the street, the Boston Museum of Art. He wanted bigger prizes.
Wow. Favorite, your thoughts on it?
You know, I think it's an interesting thing that movies depict the stealing of artwork to be this delicate, intricate thing. And this came off to me closer to a fancy smash and grab. You know, like it was just, I'm going to tie you up in the basement where you young, virile, strong men aren't going to put up a fight, and you're going to stay there nice and quiet the whole time because, yeah, and I'm just going to come over here and take your stuff and go away. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And I'm like, it plays out weird, right? It's like because movies are what they do and they, you know, dramatize everything, you don't really think of, and A, nothing going smoothly, and B, it being as, I mean, who has an hour and a half to steal shit? I mean, seriously, you know, who has that kind of time? And so I it's really interesting, and it just makes you wonder, you know, a cop costume, a friend that can be bought off for probably nothing because he hated his job, and there you go.
That's a common theme in Boston, faking cop costumes. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre went down. The cop costumes, they did that. That's how they pulled up the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, too. They walked in as cops.
That's true.
Well, you know, it works.
And I think one of the most interesting things about this is that to this day, that museum has empty frames where the paintings used to be. And they keep them like a vigil.
Ouch.
I don't know what that noise was.
No, I don't either, but it hurt.
Yeah, but they keep the empty frames on the walls as a vigil to the artwork that was stolen.
Wow, that's pretty cool. All right, another redheaded fact, everybody. In the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church believed that redheads would become vampires when they died.
There you go.
You get all the luck.
Yes.
I could tell you a blonde fact.
Oh, God.
Only after I say hello to AP.
Is AP blonde? Wait a minute.
I don't know. Hey, AP, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, sweet. How are you? Excellent.
Good, I'm glad. What'd you think?
I haven't heard Rack yet.
Well,
oh, no, she's asking about art theft.
Art theft.
Yeah,
we were
talking about the greatest art museum theft of all time at the Isabel Gardner Museum.
Because
it happened on St. Patrick's Day, 1990. So.
And the loot has yet to be recovered.
Yes. Or redheaded facts. Whatever you may want to think about. So, yeah, the main theme about redheads tonight are blondes are looked at, are blondes are noticed, but redheads are never forgotten. So that's my theme of the night. Being the naughty Irish side of the world, which I'm from. Anyway. What facts did you bring us about lovely St. Paddy's Day?
AP.
I didn't know about the theft. I just sort of went with a little poem about the Pogues. Sort of.
Well, I'm good with that.
What?
Yeah, we're all good. We're all good with that.
Say hi to Pretty Bird, too. She's here.
Hello.
Hi, Pretty Bird.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. This is only a very short little ditty, appropriately called Dirty Old Town. Sweet.
Woohoo! I like Dirty Old Town.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, I like Dirty Old Town, to be honest. So, just one of those things. But here we go. Here we go. And it's up on the board now. Goes a bit like this, sweet.
Okay.
My fingers are deep in your hair while I'm swimming in your eyes. Your lips red are soon aware that stars and comets will arise. Trembling fingers wantonly dare once a shirt and bra to disguise. Now delicate pink sways in airs and upon your mouth soon sighs. Your silhouette draws my stares, my fingers subtly tracing surmise. A curve's hiding your sweet lairs by the rise and fall of your thighs. You lay on your back, absent care, legs wide open, awaiting the tides. Dirty old town, loudly note fair, glistening spring, in echoes hives. End poem.
Hmm.
Oh, that makes me happy. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. Okay, so I keep on telling, like, Sweet Pea, like, you know, now I like the way AP writes, but I really like the way he writes real color romance. And so I'm a little bit giddy because these are my type of shenanigans. And I love that, that you can be delicate while not being delicate. Because, first of all, you can't go wrong. Oh, my gosh, I just said this tweet like an hour ago. You can't go wrong when it starts with, you know, fingers, you know, in your hair, you know, and you kiss somebody, they clench up just a little bit with intent. Oh, it's lovely. Excellent start to so many things. And then your lips red are soon aware that stars and comets will arise. Well, ain't that the truth? So you're all nice and delicate. I am not. And I absolutely love that. I love stars and comets. I love the awareness. I love the rise of things. And you go through these wonderful little delicate things, these little interludes, and then you get down to the end. And you gotta love any kind of freedom to have that devil may care attitude, to be secure, to be in a relationship that allows you to be secure in full, you know, 12 o'clock noon sunlight as nature intended, to do whatever it is love decides. And I love this. 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 And so I am going to say this. Okay. So, happy St. Patty's Day, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. JCA, your thoughts on this?
I tell you what, this reminded me of my first military permanent station, the little town right outside of it. It was a dirty old town, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is quite the atmosphere, in almost a kind of a very sensual way, and yeah, that's pretty much what it reminded me of, is that town that I was in back then. It was kind of more on the sexy side and everything like that. So, yeah, it was like a little more of a freedom area, and I like the way that everything is put together in that type of situation. So there was freedom in it. There was freedom in it. And I really like that concept behind it.
Thanks, Jessica.
And... Rock and roll.
Yeah, I really like that AP. You know, said something about I usually quip when people mention, you know, that's dirty or whatever. I say only if you do it right, and you know, you definitely did it right. The word I would say hearing recite that would be inspired. You know, it sounds like, you know, something moved you more than. Well, I shouldn't say more than normal, because I don't know what normal is for you. I don't tell you. But, you know, you were definitely, you know, in the mood, I guess, when you penned that, because it really came across beautifully and sensual and just, you know, delicate all at the same time. But, you know, your intention was clear, too. So, I mean, I really appreciate it for that. And, you know, again, the language was just lovely. You know, the metaphor, and there was another line somewhere towards the, well, it was kind of brief, so towards the end it's kind of, I guess, vague. But it's just, and if I remembered the specific phrase, I'd be able to quote it. Unfortunately, I can't read it to quote it, and I wish I could. But I mean, you know, again, you know, your turn of phrase was just, I think it had to do with the lips and anyways, I just really enjoyed, you know, the way you put you constructed it. You know, I just appreciated the whole thing. It was lovely.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
And Tatter, are you on yet?
Unmuted.
I don't know if you hear it. Let's see. Did I get everybody?
We didn't get you.
We didn't get you. Come on, sweet.
Well, there's the reason we didn't get me, because Pretty Bird mentioned that she had talked to me about an hour ago about something. And so there's a reason for that. And I'm just going to put it right there on the board.
Cool.
So this is odd and very strange to me, but we're just going to go there. Let me see. Let me see if I can do this real quick. I wasn't planning on reading it, but AP came in with 30 pounds.
Because the man knows how to do a St. Patty's Day party.
So here we go.
I'll tell you what, where I live right now, it's hard to be part of a dirty old town because everybody freaking knows.
Everybody. So this is a fistful of cinnamon curls. A fistful of cinnamon curls. He is the shadow that crosses. Yeah, he is the shadow that crosses the boundaries of my moralities, leaving me swirling in a dreamscape reality, yearning to unburden the rush of atomic heat rising within the color of my blush. And he remedied it all with a fistful of cinnamon curls. And boom.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Because, you know, there is a subtlety, as I'm sure AP is well aware, there is a subtlety to how you handle someone's tresses. And you don't want to go full caveman. You work up to full caveman. You are lucky to get to full caveman. So, you know, you stick your fingers in, and I've got curls up the wazoo, so you can't run fingers through anything, but you stick your fingers in there and you cradle the hair and you start your thing and you slowly curl those fingers until you are commanding the moment, and things escalate. And I love that, because here's the thing, when done right, that is where the rest of the world starts to fall away, and the rest of the night is just full on fabulous kind of debauchery. So I love that, because you can remedy it all, because the act, when done right, and I'm just still talking about the hair because everything else is a bonus, really does command a moment. And in that moment, it takes all the stress and kind of balls it up in those fingers and kind of gets released at the end of the ride. I am just saying. So, Mr. A.P. Taylor, what are your thoughts on this fistful of cinnamon curls?
Yes, well, I'm a big fan of cinnamon curls, Pretty Bird. And having a fistful of them actually is very useful, because it tends to actually restrain the other person quite well. You know, I have a couple of fingers full, doesn't do it, get a fistful, you know. And so I think it's an appropriate title for the poem, and I was just madly going back to find the lyrics of that song "Remedy," there's some beautiful lines in that would have been a completely appropriate comment, but I haven't had enough time. So I'm well prepared for the remedy, and if it involves a fistful of cinnamon curls, long back.
Oh, what's really funny
is lovely.
It's funny because usually I'll write a poem and AP has something for me, but out of the oddities, because it's St. Patty's Day, you had a poem and I somehow had something ready for you. Very odd.
You gotta love it. So, Ragged Tour, what are your thoughts?
It's funny that AP mentioned music, because the assonance of cinnamon curls reminded me of the song, the Neil Young Cinnamon Girl song. But, you know, that was just a fleeting thought, because obviously. But the main thought that I – isn't the hair on Sweet Pea's head pinned straight? So curls? Yeah, a handful, mouthful – awesome. Anyways, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It set my mind reeling in a couple of different ways. It had my mind reeling in a couple of different ways.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm being honest here. Yeah.
Alrighty then, and JCA, your thoughts?
I think two of the greatest places that on a human body that has just intense nerve endings are the fingertips and the scalp. And when you mix the fingertips and the scalp together and the nerve endings that go in both of them, there's just a form of electricity that goes just a little bit higher. And I think that that is the ultimate feeling that is being portrayed here, that electricity that goes beyond just what we're feeling inside and goes into those particular nerve endings. It's almost like lightning.
Mm. Yummy comment.
You know, it's funny that your comment reminds me.
I found the line from the song.
Oh.
Yeah? It's the Count
yeah.
Crow remedy. Yeah?
Good song.
Remedy, all I want is a remedy. That. Song. That's got that all over it.
Oh, okay.
That it does. I mean, not a bad theme song for an evening.
No, that'll do.
Yes. Oh, my God.
So
you guys are insane.
A little bit.
Yeah, out of control. I like it. I do too. I think this is fabulous. I'm still looking for Hatter. I haven't found Hatter yet, but we'll see what happens. Poor Hatter.
He's with the artwork.
He's somewhere.
Lost Hatter. I've got him on the phone. He's I don't know what he's doing.
He's driving.
In the car.
He's
driving.
In the car.
Just walking in the door.
Yay!
There
Hatter.
He is.
There's that voice I've missed so much. All right, now I've got Hatter online.
He's walking in the door. I'm walking out the door. I'm off. So have fun, everybody.
Have fun.
Oh,
all
sure.
Right.
Get
take
us all
care.
Riled up and then just leave. It's fine.
I know. Gets us all riled. Yep. Gets the dry, he gets the well from dry to moist, and then he leaves.
Ah, he got the party started.
He got the party
have fun, everybody.
Started. Bye.
You have a wonderful day, AP.
All right.
So where should we go with this?
Where should we go with this? Where should we go? Okay.
In the vein of things to come and whatnot, I've got a poem that I'm going to go ahead and put up if I can copy it to do that because my phone said F you. So give me one moment. Well, that's in my thing, yes. If I can put my crap on here. For Pete's sake, my phone. Okay. So it's on the board. And I am good with a little naughty. So here we go. Not to be confused with full naughty because not Sunday. Well, it is Sunday. Oh, damn. I said nothing. Here we go.
Hold on one second.
Right.
This is set to me only privacy.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah,
it is. My bad. But how do I undo that thing? Edit. Like it doesn't, it no longer has the options.
Right. I didn't know that was, I've never seen that option before.
Yeah, they stopped it for, I don't know, a year or two ago already?
Yeah. When you create a journal, they gave you the option to make it private. And there were some things that were like, you know, well, I want to post it, but I don't want everyone to read it. And, you know, I want to make it available on a Sunday or whatever. But, you know, again, I don't want people tripping over it. So, you know, we were making things private when we wanted to kind of hide it, but not. And then when it came time to put it on the air, we would unhide it and then rehide it. And
but now it doesn't let you unhide anything because it's not an option.
Right. You
know what you might have to do is go ahead and copy and paste and put it into a different poem.
Or just stick it up on
the
board.
I'll tell you what, if you want to do that, we can read another one. And
I'm going to put it right up on the board. Give me a second.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We can do that too.
It's not going to have the title, but it is.
And then, sweet, you go ahead and read Jenny after this. I think that would be perfect.
All right. We will do that.
Well, since that link doesn't work, you're going to get all the words right in your face. And here we go. I will be deleting them after because it doesn't need to be on there for everybody all day long.
So it's not that kind of
thing. Well, we're gonna, before you start, we're going to say hi to Sky.
Hi, Sky. How you doing?
Hey, Sky.
Good, how are you? Hi.
Good doing.
Hi. Huh?
I'm going to read a little shillelaghs and shenanigans for you.
Oh, good.
Well, for all of you. And it goes like this. Well, let me turn this sideways because, again, my phone's an asshole. Yes, I said it. So sorry. Deep auburn cream and a brogue in raspy whisper where words taste like a moment in endless anticipation. Bright eyes shine in shades of sin, leaving electric tongues to bask at the end of the rainbow, where the pot of golden honey awaits. Painted skin shines in wetted bliss, breathe deeply, amplifying hunger and treats tasted, where want is never wasted and heights are both earned and paid in full. Worship at the altar of time and passion's lament, exhausted where tumbleweed need lays lax asleep in a field of shamrock. End poem.
Bravo! I love this. Woohoo! Bravo! My goodness.
Kiss me, I'm Irish.
Kiss me, I'm Irish. I love this. Leading electric tongues to bask at the end of the rainbow, where that pot of honey awaits. Yummy. That's gorgeous, actually. It's sensual, but it's not naughty. It's just sensual.
Which is why I thought it would be perfect for St. Patrick's Day here.
It's beautifully suggested.
It has innuendos.
And I have to share with everybody the fact that you told me not to go honey pot of gold. You specifically mentioned not using honey pot of gold.
Okay, there's a
because when we let you run free, you talk about things you mentioned on the side 5 minutes ago. I'm just saying.
Okay, first off, let me point out to the world there's a big difference between Pretty Bird using the words at the end of the rainbow where that pot of golden honey awaits in a perfect, beautiful metaphor versus Rag going, and I'm sucking down that golden pot of honey.
Why is Winnie the Pooh in my head? I don't know why.
Because there'd be a whole different kind of vibe to that limerick, I think, versus Pretty Bird's sweet words.
Well, for the record, I did use a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow in my poem, and it's nothing like that, so there.
Okay.
I love your poem, Rack. I've already kind of read it, so, yeah. I'll read it here in a little while for you.
All right. I won't be so sexist then, but I'm just saying, I know you too, Rack, and it would scare me if you used, okay, honey pot versus pot of honey.
Yeah.
There is a difference. I'm just saying. It's just my opinion. But,
you know, it's like I'm supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around.
Honey, you have been proven guilty. Honey, you have been proven guilty time after time after time. And
not
as your judge.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no. I was going to say, and as your judge, I've loved it every single time.
Wait a second. This isn't about Winnie the Pooh?
No, dear. Not about Winnie the Pooh.
But there's definitely something about that hard gobble. I am just saying.
Yes. Okay. So, Rack, your thoughts. And then I'm going to go to Jay for his thoughts.
Detracting from the beautiful metaphor and words of Pretty Bird. Wow. I mean, you know, this is lovely and suggestive at the same time without being overly over the top, you know. And anytime you could take something more than one way, I always appreciate that use of language because, you know, even when you're confusing people about if it's about, you know, abuse as opposed to reality and things like that, or flowers. That's equally beautiful to me. I'm warped, so you know that's why nobody listens. That's why I'm guilty. Anyways, I actually really loved it, Pretty Bird. And again, Shenanigans was just, you know, absolutely perfect because the shenanigans were shenanigans.
That word
needs to be used on St. Patrick's Day. It really does.
And Mr. JCA.
Okay, I really couldn't get over this line. It just grabs me here. In treats tasted where want is never wasted. I think I remember her. But
that's beautiful.
It's like when you get to that point, you get to that person. It's like I'm not saying it's an ultimate relationship, but hey, it kind of like I'll go back to the previous one, leading electric tongues, you know. We are still talking about those nerve endings and the receptors. Yeah, I really like this. This is well done.
Thank you very much.
Hatter?
Okay. Unmute Hatter.
Yes. I want to know about the shillelaghs. Where's the shillelaghs?
Sweetie.
Was it a big shillelagh or a little shillelagh?
It was an implication, Hatter.
I was going to tell you what, it's at the end of the rainbow. Are you just talking about the tip of the rainbow or the whole thing, you know?
It's
kind of a short, knobby walking stick, Hatter.
Well, he was looking for them in the poem. He's saying you didn't mention shillelaghs in the poem.
No. I alluded to the use of the shillelagh.
Yes.
In the shenanigans.
Yes.
Hatter, you just have to cause trouble. Take your shot. Ring your bell, baby.
Yeah, ring a bell. Somebody ring a bell. I'm all ready.
I'm already. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay. And let's see. Who else did I not get here? Dumpty, Dumpty, Pretty Birds. Guy! Your thoughts?
No. So, like, I don't know what happened, but we were up super late till 10 o'clock, and I was, like, trying to get here. And I'm so glad I got here when I did, so I got to hear that live. And I absolutely loved it. And I'm kind of like, what? I thought this was and then it was, like, right on the skirt, so I was like, okay. But I have to say my favorite three lines, one of them in which JCA already said it, but I'm going to say it again. But these three, I just really, really love them. It was the... where words taste like a moment. I really, really love that. It's like tangible. And then to the entreats tasted where wanted never wasted, but continued on, and heights are both earned and paid in full. I love that because, like, you've got to earn it. And it's worth the payoff. I just really, really love those. I mean, the entire poem was absolutely delicious. And those lines, I was just like, ah. Oh. Absolutely brilliant. Really, really well done. And the reader's amazing. Like I said, I'm so glad I came on when I did. So, really well done. And I've got my corned beef.
Woohoo!
And I only brought one shot of whiskey. That's all I can do because, one, I'm a lightweight. And, two, I got to work in the morning. So, I did bring my one shot. I haven't had it yet, but, because once I have it, I'll be tired. So, I'll wait a little bit. All right, it's time for Ben.
Okay. Are we ready for some more Irish redheaded miss?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Witches from the 1400s to the 1700s, thousands of redheaded women were murdered who were considered witches. We are witches, just so that you know.
I have
redhead.
Heard that one before. I have heard that one before.
Redheads are notorious for having fiery redheaded tempers and hot-blooded fiery lovers. You got to have
both. That's not a myth.
That's not a myth, no.
I will attest to that. And the other thing is, redheads require up to 30 to 40% more anesthesia than most other people because we metabolize it so quickly. And I will attest to that.
Yeah, I can vouch for that with how much my ex drank. Yeah.
We do metabolize alcohol, anesthesia, all of that. It's amazing. Like Novocaine, like you can get two or three. I'll take eight.
It's your Irish metabolism.
It's something to do with something. I think it's called the MR14 gene or something. I can't remember. MC1R.
Are you just a witch?
I am a witch. Yeah. I'm a witch.
You turn me into
a new witch. I will. So this is a poem by Jenny the Deep called The Not-So-Lucky Holiday. Who needs Irish luck when there's drunken lust? Celebrate we must till dawn becomes dusk. I blow in the streets, smoking magic greens, spreading joy and peace. I plant my lucky seeds. In a hazy maze, my mind is unfazed. Stoned, I set ablaze. Free in my head space, drinking and smoking, singing and token. Cheers to you and me. I'm feeling lucky. Nothing to stop us, says one with the drink. Crud, here comes the fuzz. My luck is dried up. And boom. That's adorable. Cute. Drinking, smoking the green and drinking the whiskey. Now that's going to leave you a little fucked up. Oh, sorry. But yeah, there you go. That's some fun.
NC-17 allows more than one F-bomb. So we're good.
Okay, good. All right, good, good. Glad to hear it.
PG-13, you can get away with at least one F-bomb. So I don't
one. Yeah, but we're NC-17, so we're good.
That's right. Yeah, Team of Voices is now 17 and only. Above 17 and over now. 17 and over. So this is a fabulous. I really like this. This is funny. It's cute. And kind of the way St. Patty's Days go, or if you're living in Denver, every night of the week. So very good, Jenny. I liked it. CCA, your thoughts?
I'm looking at those first two lines. Who needs Irish luck when there's drunken lust? I knew her, too.
it was sisters, coincidentally.
It might have been the same lady. I don't know. Yeah, I really like this. The way it was put together, it's fun. and it's like that ending there. Crud, here comes the fuzz. My luck has dried up. Oh, yeah. I've seen that happen. It was funny. One time we had a karaoke night, right? And the cop, we actually had a cop came in here into the karaoke bar, and he sang Country Girl Shake It For Me. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. But he was trying to tell people, don't drink and drive. I'll sing one for you.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Rack, your thoughts.
Well, when she said, here comes the fuzz, I was thinking of your cinnamon curls. But the whole thing was actually, you know, very lovely and sensual. And you
that's
know,
why you can't be trusted.
No, that's not really why. I have a lot worse in store. But anyways. you know, I just, you know, the thought behind it, you know, I think that's actually true to the intent. Even if she didn't mean it that way, I think it could be taken that way. But, you know, I just, you know, again, she did it in a beautiful way. It was, sensual and, you know, lusty at the same time, but not over the top, and just, drunken debauchery. I think is what, you know, a lot of people want their St. Patrick's Day to be like, but, you know, you don't always get what you want. So there's the drunken part.
But
then
sometimes you get what you need.
That's exactly what I started saying. You can't.
Oh, you just put the stones in my head. Jeez. Well, thank you.
I know.
Oh, people Great. Said you had rocks in your head well before you. Never mind. I enjoyed the poem.
Oh, Angie.
That's great. All right. How are your thoughts?
My thoughts.
Really? Yes, your
drinking
thoughts.
Drinking and smoking, singing and talking. Cheers to you and me. Feeling lucky. You know, Jenny showed a little more of her today. Here she is. Who needs Irish luck? Anytime you use luck, your mind goes a little which way? What's the rhyming word coming up?
Schmuck.
Yep, there you go.
Hockey puck. Come on.
Hockey puck.
Smoking magic leaves.
Magically, right. Also, I don't have the team.
I don't think we got Birdie to comment yet.
No,
she's not done. She's got Sky and she has me. We're good.
Okay.
Yep. Sky's next. Sky's next.
How many shots has Sweet had? I want to know.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. All right,
and
all right.
I'm
so I've got
Irish.
No.
I've got some hostility regarding that whole I'm Irish thing. I'll tell you later. This is a brilliant piece. I really liked the.
That's your piece.
I know. Well, I because I can't do it.
Are you hostile,
Tiny? This is a great. A little bit, because I'll tell you later. Hold on, let me comment. So I thought this was cool, and she's obviously having a very fun holiday. And, you know, I just be careful on that. Take a couple aspirin and some water in the morning, because might be having a little bit of a headache, and you probably will not be feeling so lucky in the morning. So hold on.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. That's such a boring comment. Excellent piece. Stay hydrated. Very humorous.
I'm very hydrated.
That's different from well lubricated.
The fact that I was talking to the poem and not you, Sweet, says something.
Oh. I'm very hydrated.
Okay, good.
You know how much liquid's in a fifth of whiskey?
Not to be confused with multiplicated.
750 milliliters.
Yes. There you go.
Well,
that's my pretty
bird. I'm so sorry.
That's my pretty bird. All right, Pre-Bird,
you know,
you've got another poem to read.
That's fine. So when Hatter said, was reading that one verse, all I heard was, you know, this happy party version. He was going, drinking and smoking and singing and talking. I still think I like that better than wishing and hoping because that's a little depressing. So yes, this version, this happy holiday St. Patrick's Day version, much, much better. And I when this started, who needs others to watch you drunken bastard? You're horny bastard. I love that because not for nothing. When you're relaxed, well lubricated, slightly inebriated, and it's a good time, things happen. Be safe. I'm just saying. Things happen. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, so long as consenting things happen, must have that caveat on there for all the things. But I you know, everybody needs a good party every now and then is all I'm saying. Good job.
That's right.
Don't you peaches squeak?
Peaches squeak? What?
Peaches squeak. That's the rest of that song. Shake your peaches, shake your trees. Yeah, it's from
get your peaches squeak.
Steve Miller. Steve Miller.
Oh my.
The Joker. The Joker.
Yep.
I'm a Joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. Okay, now that we're singing.
I really want to read Rax poem. I really do.
Oh, okay. Time for Rax then.
Yes. I
okay,
love
Rax.
This. It's called Trippin'.
Oh. Nice.
On the Midgard side of the Rainbow Bridge, you'll find a dispensary called Heimdall's. The owner is 4 feet tall, red hair and Irish, and sells a strain of pot called Acapulco Gold. Despite what you might think, he's no leprechaun, just a marketing genius. Be sure to pay him a visit if you want your trouble to go up in smoke.
Oh.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's aptly titled and fabulous. And, you know, that is probably, if that was like a little mini midnight infomercial and I lived in a place where I could just go down the street and hit it up, I might have to do that. I am just saying. Because, you know, it's especially on St. Patty's Day, you know, a little tiny wee redheaded little person, the marketing genius he may be, and my mind goes full Peter Dinklage with wigs. I'm just saying. I might have to go there. Oh my goodness, midget is the wrong word. Dwarf story. Here it goes. I had this coworker I was working with my husband, and she happened to have long curly red hair too, just like a mermaid. And she has this friend. She was drunk one night, and they said people almost arrested her because she has this really 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 tiny little dwarf friend, and they were walking on a busy part on the main street in Orlando. And she sees him down the way, and he comes running at her to give her a hug, and she scoops him up and said, I caught one. And they called the cops. So, you know, true story, you know, St. Patrick's Day shenanigans. But I love it. I do. Because it's funny. It's like, it reminds me of come one, come all. If you want to have a good time, you know who to call. And that, and I kind of love the feel of that because it's very much, I got you, man. I got you. You need a little bit of this. You are good. You are cool. Here you go. So awesomeness.
Yes. Officeness. Awesomeness.
Awesomeness.
Awesomeness. There you go. That's the word. Yes. I don't know why I couldn't say that for a second. I love this because I'm almost fit in that conversation. I almost look like that, except I'm a little taller.
Barely.
Oh, come on. I'm a little taller.
I think I'm taller than you, sweet, and that's hard to do.
Pretty Bird knows how tall I am because I've met her.
You're fun
she
size.
Aren't you 5'1"?
Very fun size.
Yes.
Five one. So I've got you beat by an inch, but still.
And technically, I'm 5'1.5", so we would be eyebrow to eye. So don't.
I'm 5'2".
And I don't know. I'd have to pull out the tape measure and mark the wall.
Say half.
You guys would have all in my workplace, fine. I always say I'm Gulliver and everybody else is a Lilliputian.
That's great. I love your poem, by the way, Rack, because like I said, I'm a marketing genius. I am. I don't know if y'all know it. I have a degree.
I hear pot of gold, and I just can't help but, you know, the word pot right away, just, I don't go honey pot, I think the other one, so that's just my warp direction of thought.
Acapulco gold, too. Hatter, how tall is everyone? I am taller than my own ego, so that makes me very, very tall. There you go. That's my answer.
Is that,
is that tall
new
for
math?
A woman or tall for a human being?
Am I tall for a woman?
Oh,
am I tall for a woman?
Hatter, women are people.
Auntie?
Oh, yeah, I always had dreams of climbing one.
OMG.
I'm pretty
right,
tall
hold
for
on.
A
can
woman,
you
I think.
What
I am 6
we're
foot
short,
2.
Sweet. Just, we're short.
How old are you?
You're the shortest person in my family.
I'm 6 foot 2.
You're 6 foot 2. Okay.
That means he's a whole foot and an inch taller than you. And he's a foot taller than me. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but.
My husband's 6 foot 2. I like come right above his, like right below his armpit. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
He can like right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have a conversation.
I'm an arm
over your head.
From 6 foot to 6'7".
Yeah. You
I
have
giants.
Pretty Bird has very large people in her life, like large, tall men.
I do. Very tall. Very, very tall.
Yes.
And
which is
like
a good
I said,
thing
they can
it
have
makes
conversations
feel and
over
I
your
ain't.
Head, you know?
Yeah, but not over my intelligence.
This
oh.
is true. That right there, you're a skyscraper, my friend.
So I used to know a woman that wore her hair up so things wouldn't go over her head.
Ha! You know what's funny? And you can even ask Pretty Bird because I showed her. I wear tennis shoes with a lift, so I'm always a couple inches higher. Like even my shoes, my tennis shoes have like an inch of padding underneath them.
Dude, I work She's with so fifth weird. Graders and they're taller than me. It's pretty sad. But, yeah. Can I make a comment on Zach's poem real quick, though?
Yes, please. Please.
No, you're not allowed.
Yes,
of course, Sky, go ahead.
No!
That is wonderful. I have nothing to drink.
I haven't had my shot yet. I love that you brought in the Bifrost and you brought a little Norse mythology into it as well. I really enjoyed that at the beginning. I was smiling. I was like, oh. And I was really surprised that Pretty Bird didn't say, oh, I love my geeks. So I'll say it for her. And
I do my little nerdlets.
Excellent. Excellent way to go.
Yeah. That is great.
I just want to ask everybody, because of Rex's poem, everybody cover me for about a half hour. I'm going to see if the smoke shop's open.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
I have some downstairs in a drawer, but I have to ask my son to be okay.
Watch out for the fuzz.
So do you want to see why I'm so angry with the Irish?
Yes, please. I want to know why you're hating on me.
Ooh, show and tell.
Not hating on you. See, this is the thing. Yes, I'm going to put it up. So, listen, my whole life I was very proud to be, I like my Irish. Like, I was like super, I'm Irish, which I am Irish, but I'm mostly Irish and French. I'm Irish and French. That's it. You know, I got some other stuff in there, but I'm Irish. And I would always celebrate all my Irishness. And then I got a DNA test, and my Irishness is, it kind of sucks. As you can see down there.
Got it.
5%.
It's not to the degree you thought it was.
Okay, but
hey,
I didn't even know.
I think that's
Spanish
why you're happy
Asian
that you got the Norse. I think that's why you like the Norse in the poem.
Maybe. I was pretty upset. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, no. There's just like F-bombs. I hope you can afford a few of them.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, like, I'm like, where did the even Scotland come from in the Swedish? I didn't even know that was there. I mean, I knew everything else was there. Almost everything, not Spain and Norway, but I knew I was English, French, and Irish, and that's pretty much all I knew. But I was disappointed. But I'm still gonna be proud of my 5%. Okay, so what I'm gonna say to this guy is,
have you seen the new commercial with Jason Momoa? He has one of these readouts from the genetic company, and he goes into an Irish pub and says, "I'm Irish," and the guy looks at the little readout. He goes, "You're 2% Irish. That's all that matters."
Exactly. What were you gonna say?
Well, I was going to say that however many generations back when whoever your Scottish ancestors were moved to Ireland, then all those generations that were born there that ended up in you, you know, it still counts. It's a matter of by blood or by design. So there you go. I would still say, yes, you are Irish.
It still counts. But I still wanted
you
to be more Irish.
Okay, hold on.
I just wanted to be more Irish.
Now you get all the cool plaid.
Hold on. If you know anything about the Scots and the Irish, you would know the Scots and the Irish are historically the Celtics, okay? So
when
the Celtics, the big bad assholes that they are, and they went and they took over the world, okay? The Scots and the Celtics are the same. And the Irish settlers who migrated to Albia, okay, they adopted the name Scotties because they were sea raiders. And once settled, they took on the Irish language and the cultural influences. So depending on what Scots you are from, they are the modern descendants of the Celtics. And they are found in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, Iowa. Okay, so technically, the Scots and the Irish are very close together because they all come from the Celtic origin. So you could be 35% Scottish, Irish, but it doesn't matter because we're all Celtics.
I need a few of those crumbs.
Okay. I'm just saying. You have to remember, we're Gaelic.
Oh, no.
Unless you're Lola. Unless you're a low-lying Scot who are a bunch of descendants from the Germanic people and, you know, you're still, but that's okay. You have to figure that out yourself.
Well, I don't know if you saw her numbers and where the German lies on there, but okay.
Well, then.
The Scottish and Germans are conquerors.
OMG. We're just going to be insulting the universe today.
But I love you.
Peoples. We love all the people.
I love all the peoples. I love them all.
However, I'd have put down the Cockney.
But the problem is,
problem
is with all of us in this world, we're all a part of somebody. At this point in stage in this world, all of us. I think we're all got a little something of somebody in us.
We're all mutts.
Amen. We're all muddy. I know I am.
Well, it's all, so they can track it. So apparently all the Scottish and Irish and all that is all the Quebec settlers. So that's why.
I mean,
my
look
grandmother,
at you. Scotland, Sweden, Denmark, Spain, Eastern European, and Russian. Do you know how big Eastern Europe and Russia are? What does 1% mean? Take every country in that. Who was doing who? I mean, how do you track
everyone?
That? I mean, Spain is in there. I mean, who knows who? Somebody did Joan of Arc. You got 14% of her in you. You got heroes. You got leprechauns. You've got everybody. I think you're amazing. Look at all that. Wow. Anyway, it's time for Hatter to read. I just don't want you to be bitter about the whole 5%.
I'm not. You got. I'm just so. Just a little lazy.
You are, don't be, because you are the, we are the world song wrapped in a handshake with Michael Jackson.
Okay, that's.
And not the hand with the glove.
Yeah, okay, good.
I don't know.
There you go.
If
I was holding hands with Michael Jackson. Yes, take, okay, this is, Kay Hatter's going to reach everybody.
Oh, no pressure, no pressure there. Take my quivering hand. I warmed the spice cakes as sprinkles will have to wait. Lay the fruit to make my bed, spreading the sugar atop your head. Watching your eyes to see how it works, glazing your breasts, unbuttoning shirts. Swaying in view, I taste all of you. You beg for me to stand. Reach from behind, if you don't mind, take my quivering hand. Eat me with sprinkles and lick my lips. My passion grows as you lean down to kiss. Leg locked and sweaty, I flip you around, holding your breath, not making a sound. Writing in concert, you begin to buck. Together, we share a little luck. It started with pineapples, then cherries we poured, making desserts when I was once bored. Dirty people. Dirty thoughts.
Hatter. Well, dirty, delectable. I mean, it sounds the same to me. I'm just saying. Now, there is NC-17, and then there's Real Naughty Night. So where I want to go is not so much the NC-17, but I'm going to dance on Occam's Razor, and we'll see how that's going to work out for me, because the sugar atop the head and the glazing of the breast and the begging to stand with that quivering hand and the sweaty flips, and there's something divine about holding your breath, not making a sound when you're at that precipice, but you don't want to expel any energy because it is being stored in the engine of activities where you don't want to release it until it all goes at once. That is lovely. Desserts, pineapples, donuts, whatever the hell, it's delicious. And you know what Freud says about when you're dreaming of donuts. I am just saying. So, my sweet, how do you like Hatter's quivering hand?
I like Hatter's quivering hand. I've always liked Hatter's hand. But I like eat me with sprinkles and lick my lips. My passion grows as you lean down to kiss. My legs locked and sweaty, I flip you around, holding my breath, not making a sound. That's very, very sexy. But, yeah. Take my quivering hand and lead it wherever you want it to quiver, and I'll shiver. Very nice.
Yeah, that's my favorite word, quiver.
Ow.
Just saying.
Sweets running comments?
Yeah, okay, yeah, sweets running comments. hey, your thoughts.
Gotcha. I like banana splits. Oh, this is, yeah, this is a good bit of a dessert. It's kind of like a main meal dessert for dinner. I like that. It's a great piece, Hatter, well put together.
Thanks. Yeah, whoever said honey and sex, they were wrong. Neither honey word is.
And peanut butter makes it, never mind.
OMG.
I didn't finish it. Shut up.
I just know sugar is not good for anything.
No.
I'm not saying the letter.
Not.
No. And Sky, your thoughts?
Hattie, you're naughty.
And isn't it nice?
Best comment of the evening. Write it down. We're done.
Blotchy. I was forced to write this.
I was in with the sprinkle.
Oh, my ass.
Sky gets the comment of the night award. Congratulations, Sky.
Oh my goodness. Excellent piece. I think I'm blushing. Have a nice day.
Yes, you are blushing.
You made Sky blush.
Yeah.
I said good
day. I said good day.
And JCA, your thoughts?
I did comment already. I mentioned
okay,
the. I don't think Rack has, though.
Okay, Rack and Tor, your thoughts.
You know, short of mentioning cloves, I almost thought you were talking about glazing a ham in the beginning, but I just, you know, you do sensual well, and this is very sensual. I really enjoyed it a lot, and it kind of made me hungry.
Nom, 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 nom.
Did you play horseshoes with the pineapple rings? I was just wondering.
A gentleman never tells.
On a pre-bird show.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Because, and if anything I have ever done inspired you to write something delicious, I'm that is awesome.
Bring it out.
And Peter, then your comments.
I started the comments.
Oh yeah, that's right. You usually do.
She's so flabbergasted by that. I've got to try reading this by Wayne. I have got to try reading this.
All right,
you
Wayne.
You're getting hot in here.
Ooh.
Channel the Wayne. Channel the Wayne.
This is called My Lucky Day. Walked out of my house, tripped on my shoelace, stumbled into the yard, fell flat on my face, looked like a dumbass, at least was at my place, didn't break anything, blood was only a trace, moaned a little, then decided to roll over, was stabbed in the back by a four-leaf clover, knew what it was, could feel the impression. From now on, tie my shoe. Learned a lesson. Reached out but couldn't get it out of my back. Needed longer arms. Decided to try another attack. Didn't hurt bad, but I did shed a tear. Clover in the back, my worst fear. Went to the doctor. Knew what he would do. Felt a lot better when he was through. Put a four-leaf clover in a cup on the tray. Thought to myself, this must be my lucky day. Poem.
Wayne.
He's got the same kind of luck I have. Like, well, you know, I don't know how that four-leaf clover got there, but now it's stabbing me in the back because thanks, universe. Thank you so much. That is definitely not that famous Irish look. But, you know, you got to love it. Poor guy falls in his face, all of this stuff. And yeah, that's, you know, stab with that four little. That's some kind of luck, isn't it? Good luck. But that's some kind of luck. So there you happy St. Patty's Day. Happy St. Patty's Day, Wayne. So sweet. What are your thoughts on that stabby, stabby clover?
Yeah, it's going to be an awful sharp four-leaf clover to stab you in the back. So I don't know what that metaphor is for, but, you know, sounds like an ex-lover to me. Rolled on my back, you know, and there she is, stabby, stabby, stabby. But I like it. I like the whole fatal, this is my lucky day because whatever it was is out of my life. So, hey, St. Patrick's Day can do a lot of great things. It's a great poem. It's definitely a Wayne poem. Something odd and strange is going to happen to Wayne. Especially on St. Patty's Day. Great, great right. Let's see. Rack, your thoughts.
You know, I kind of have to respond with a limerick. let me see if I can get this right now. A drunken Irishman named O'Doul was being treated for red marks on his tool. His doctor was a cynic and screamed, "Get out of my clinic and wipe that damn lipstick off your tool."
Oh, God.
That's funny. That's funny.
Must have been his
home. Oh, my God, Hatter. Well, your thoughts, Hatter?
Yes, stabbed to the back with a four-leaf clover. Remember with the Princess of the Pea? He used that very well. Like we weren't supposed to notice. It was just a clover, a four. I thought it was very clever. In comment.
And Sky, your thoughts?
It's okay, Hatter. So some people find this annoying about me, and some people find it a good quality. You can take your pick, but it reminds me of, like, for instance, don't worry, I'm going to circle back to the poem, don't worry. Today I got lost for half an hour and I was driving for like an hour and 40 minutes, and I was not happy. I was very angry. I was very frustrated. And it was the second time that I got lost going to my mom's new house. And I tried to call her to say, listen, my GPS doesn't route me to your house. It routes me somewhere else. And then I started naming roads, and she's like, no, I don't know what road. Just take two rights, and then when you see the white tree on the ground, take a left. And I'm like, what are you saying right now? This is not directions. And it was really awful, and it took me a really long time because she's 74, and she doesn't know what she's talking about. So I was really angry, and then I kept routing me to the park. So then finally I found her house, and I was so lost I was able to navigate when I figured out how they connected. And so later at the day, because I had my goddaughter with me, and I said, hey, do you want to go to the park for a little while? It's nice out. And she said, yes. So then we're going to the park. And I said, well, good thing you got lost for a half an hour, and I was so angry because now we know where the park is. So this is what this poem reminds me of. Okay. So, and I do that a lot, and everybody gets mad at me. They're like, what are you even talking about? All this bad shit happened, and you're just saying it was a good thing. And that's what it reminds me of, because it's all about perspective. And he's like, all this bad crap happened to me. But then when it was all over, he got a four-leaf clover, and he's like, hey, look it, I'm lucky. It's like he forgot all the other stuff. That could not be what the poem is about, but that's what I see, and I think it's great. So, good perspective.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I like that.
So, I put Deb up on the board, sweet, so if you want to read her.
Yeah, I just want to make one comment about Wayne's poem. It just makes you ask that ever-ending question, is it worse to have a pain in the back or a pain in the ass?
Depends on who puts a pain in your ass.
This is true.
A pain in your ass is a pain in the back.
Could be. Oh, I don't know. I've had enough pains in my asses. And then my I don't know. That's a tough question to answer. It's a dichotomy.
I've had them both. Pain in the back is worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Being that I have an eternally broken tailbone, they're pretty equal. I'm just saying.
That don't count.
You know what?
All right.
Pain sucks regardless of where it lands.
This is true. I love this picture by Deb, by the way. So, Deborah Lee's warm green elixir and a snake oil grin. A salesman dressed green, eyes glow citrine, potions tucked into his sleeves. With ingredients lacked and all the decks stacked, working with gangs and thieves. An outside routine, staging the scene, gold-plated pots to seize. Liquid clover served hot is shot, flames cure for this man he grieves. His silver tongue forked, the elixir bottle corked, filled with fox four clover leaves. Aquamarine leprechaun queen grins at the webs that he weaves. Her PhDs split jeans with ease. Lucky charms she achieves. Genetic curse, hybrids are worse. The formula just deceives. Mutating stems with four leaves. And poem.
Ooh, like back in the day with the traveling wagon of the snake oil, because this is going to fix what ails you. And you have that bottled up luck of the Irish that mutates you into who the heck knows what with a grin and gold-plated coins. You know what? That is a shyster of highest quality. So that's kind of awesome and sinister. Kind of love it. I'm just saying. So, Sweet, you read it. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I kind of think it's devious and interesting. I like the idea that, you know, here, look at the four-leaf clover. It's like the rabbit's foot or something, but I'm going to give it to you, and this is the elixir, and I'm going to cure all your ills. I love, you know, his silver tongue fort, the elixir bottle quartz. Because I've got the answer, and it all comes in a little Irish luck called the four-leaf clover. I really enjoyed this. Very well done, Deb. Let's start with Hatter.
Yeah. Can I read the author's notes? Because it explains a lot.
They're really long, though.
No, let everybody read it. That's, like, crazy long.
Yeah, I just invite everybody to read the thing.
Just read them, because it talks about the hybrids and the mutations and why this is so unique to this chromosome. Yeah.
It actually makes the clover sort of sexy.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, see, now it definitely deserves for everybody to go and read the author's notes.
Yeah.
But as far as her poem, I like the way she uses the three-line rhyme. It's got a bit flavor of a limerick, so it reads easy, and it just fits. I think she should do more of it.
Oh, we should have been playing, you know, every time somebody says limerick, we need to take a shot. That would have been fun. Next year.
Yes.
Limerick is a town in Ireland.
Guy, your thoughts.
Sky, are you there?
I was making comments the whole time and being funny, and I was on mute. I'm sorry. I thought it was great.
What percentage Irish were you?
On mute. I
take it.
That,
you did your spot?
No, well, that's what I said when she was. I was like, I'm only doing one, and then I was on mute. Anyway, no, I started a comment, so I was more enthusiastic the first time around. But
I think she's just gotten so used to, I know, I was like jumped right into it and then I realized I was on mute, but I think she's gotten so used to writing for my character rights for D&D. I think she's bringing him in other ways, and I think that's so great. Love the storytelling. And I kind of took, you know, piggyback on what Pretty Bird said with the, where the time she was taking the story and then how she kind of brought in the elixir and these hybrids. I mean, this is really intricate stuff, and I haven't read the author's notes yet, but now I want to. But she didn't like take an easy route. She like dug in deep to the storytelling and brought it in through a poem, which I am a huge fan of. So wonderfully done. And excellent piece. And yes, Brackentor, I did do my one. So what else?
A poem for us tonight, Sky?
Yes, Sky.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm looking. But I do.
What's the answer?
I have like a 4-line poem that could fit into like a Sunday night 17, but it's not green, but there's no, I must have put it up and then deleted it right away because there's no comments on it.
let me make one comment on Deb's poem. I want to say who's fooling who? Who's got the snake oil, him or her? That's my question on that one. But ultimately, I'd like to quote Patty O'Brien from Austin Powers. They are after me, Lucky Charms.
That's funny. Rack, do you have any comments on this?
It was very reminiscent of the old-timey, with the wagon and you know, the snake oil. It's just that image from the beginning put my head in, you know, that old west mindset. You know, the guy with the gravelly voice that you know was always cast in a role similar to that, you know, is like in the back of my head. You know, she conjured up all that imagery with the things that she said and the way that she said it. You know, the fact that she's mentioning the green too made me think of the guy rebranding the absence. But, you know, when they did that stuff with the snake oil, you never knew what the hell you were getting. You know, sometimes it was shoe polish or something ridiculous. You never knew if it was even, you know, safe for human consumption. I mean, they did some crazy
sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes it was Dr. Pepper.
Oh, gosh.
Porcelain.
Yeah, you know, they did some crazy things back then, and, you know, got caught and run out of town, and they just went to the next town and did it again, if they weren't, you know, strung up on the way. So, yeah, I like the idea of the snake oil and the salesman and the story behind it. She did a good job, as usual.
And Adder?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments?
Oh, okay.
I'd like to mention one thing before we get to Sky's poem. And for the first Sunday of next month, I am going to be presenting another mystery, just like I did 2 weeks ago. And this one is going to be called the Yahtzee Mystery. And if you don't know what Yahtzee is, you're just going to have to wait and find out.
Cool. Excited about that. That sounds like fun. All right, then, Sky, your thoughts, or your poem?
Yeah, no, I looked. I don't have any Irish poems. So, I mean, here's this. And I don't know why I must have put it up and then deleted it. I don't really know what happened to this poem, but I was just going through my folder, so... I think this is, yeah, this isn't too bad. It's called Two, the language.
If you wrote it, Sky, it is an Irish poem.
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, my mom, she says, all these dudes, Irish eyes are smiling. I told you, it's very disappointing. All right, this is called To the Languages of Her Lips by Sky Darko. She had a mouth for languages. The most fluent being, those nonverbal vibrations that lift on my skin. And pump.
And that's how you do it. Brevity, ladies and gentlemen. That is lovely. That is a fully tactile sensation in four lines. You know, and people, you know, nowadays talk about their love languages, you know, whether it be food or money or whatever they do, whatever the heck no, this should be the only one. Because there's something to be said, both in, you know, physical vibrations of things and in the way the body reacts to the whispers of a word, to the warm breath on your ear, to the almost sensations. It's like your energy wants to jump the gap to meet it right there as it hangs between you so close. And it burns like fire, and this is lovely, and it only happens. This is not a full animal primal union. This is a much deeper thing that is more than just attraction. This comes with, this is like the sensation of a deeper bond or a deeper want. This comes with emotion, which always makes the physical better. I'm just saying, because, you know, synergy. And I absolutely love this. This is gorgeous. This is as gorgeous as any brevity I've ever read. So, Sweet Pea, how are you liking those vibrations? Oh, you're very welcome.
I shall say nothing, but I will simply breathe upon your neck and speak. You're very welcome. So, JCA, your thoughts?
This is pure emotional braille. I loved it.
Love. Thank you, Jason. And Rock and Tour, your thoughts?
I'm going to start with quoting Hendrix and saying, excuse me while I kiss the sky. But finish with, I think even if JCA read it, I'd want to kiss him. So, yeah, it was awesome.
And that's the power of words.
That's right. And Hatter, your thoughts?
That kind of party.
No.
I like it. Those non-verbal vibrations.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Hatter. Go ahead.
I just can relate to that line, those non-verbal vibrations that lived on my skin. Remember, they could throw daggers with a look. Try walking away.
Well, keep the eyes closed.
Yeah.
Because you know, no sharp
lie.
Points.
Yeah, you just didn't lie to my mom. Just didn't live longer.
Something about mama.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm going to squeeze in one more. So one or two.
Okay.
You want drunk or do you want not drunk?
I want three fingers.
Three fingers or drunk?
Okay. I'm going to let anybody who's listening know that it might drop off, but whoever's on the call will be able to hear it.
Drunk.
Yes. Drunk. All right. Now, I do not do drunk. Like, I do not do funny. So this is what this is going to be. As soon as I can get my way back to put this over here. This is in burn stanza because I have a thing for that form. If I'm going to do a form, that would be my form of choice. Also known as standard happy. And it's a Scottish form, Miss Sky. I'm just saying. This is called Good Time. Slithering serpents, midnight chills. The shadows twist and bend at will. The hall is growing longer still. The spinning sky is heralded. I've reached my fill. A fool am I. Instead of falling on the floor, there was a chair beside the door. I sat and smiled and begged for more, and all seemed well, not knowing what it had in store. I could not tell. The floating seat beneath the mind had chosen to be quite unkind and proved immensely hard to find that witching hour, scared that they'd be left behind, or worse, devoured, dragged with screams of desperation, sighs lined with exasperation, could not grasp the intonation without my feet, doubled over at their elation, at last we meet, the wails that proved I was insane crescendo through my thrashing brain. This clearly was not my domain. I found my shoes. Only the truest friends remained. Can't hold my booze. End poem.
You are an absolute crack up, and I love you. This is fabulous. There's so many things in here. I can't even tell you where to begin and what I like the most. Although I'm thinking the last two lines are pretty hilarious. Because I can never find my shoes, just FYI. I found my shoes. Only truest friends remains. Can't hold my booze. Are the shoes under your vomit? Is that what, I'm just wondering.
Oh, okay. So, and I couldn't see them because the whole entire world was spinning. I don't get drunk. This was a full-on drunken frat party a million years ago. The first time I ever got fully freaking smashed. And I left my pantyhose in the bathroom because them bitches were not coming back on. But everything was just all swaying and whatnot. And I sat there and I couldn't feel my feet. And I was like, where did they go? And then I looked down and there they are.
There they are. Oh, that's good. I was just wondering, what happened to the feet. Because usually it's my shoes.
And I never actually did throw up. I was just really woozy.
Okay, good. Because I can put my shoes, right next to me and 10 minutes later not know what I did with them. So I was just wondering.
Exactly.
And that's when I'm not drunk. This is brilliant. I really like that. Crescendo through my thrashing brain. Yeah. Usually that proves to me I am insane. Because I'm like, what the hell was that? Oh, yeah, that happened when I was 4. God damn it, why are you in my head right now? Aren't you supposed to be not in my head right now? Because I've drank enough to, make sure you weren't in my head. But there you are talking because you are in my head. God bless it. So, yeah, that's why I try not to do that anymore. But I think it's brilliant. Rackentor, your thoughts?
Oh, my God. I really enjoyed this. You talk about the shoes and looking for them and stuff like that. It's shades of where's my glasses? Oh, they're on my head, But to the next degree, to the next level, because where's my feet? Oh, they're down there, right where you left them, but you don't realize that because the world is spinning. Drunken logic, I think. you put it in such a way that it makes it very poignant and relatable. I feel like I'm right there with you, and I wish I could have come home with that souvenir that you left in the bathroom.
OMG.
OMG is right. And Sky, your thoughts?
Well, it sounds like my kind of party. I think I'm there with Rack. But excellent piece, and I love the humor. Don't distract me. Laughing. I love the flow. I thought it was so rhythmic, and I don't see you rhyme in such, I would say, structure almost very often. So I thought that was really cool, and you did it really, really well, and you were just like flying through that poem, and it was so rhythmic, so wonderful, and funny. And I just love humor done well, and it really was. And it was kind of like a dirty kind of humor, which is fun too. Really well done.
I love Burn Stanza. I have a bunch of them. I have them serious. I have them scary. I have them sexy. I've got a bunch of them. That's my favorite type of form because of frolic, and it's very forgiving. There's no true meter. It's kind of just rhyme scheme and length.
Can you explain are we over? What is it?
I'll let her get the comments, and then I'll explain.
Sorry. Okay, thank you.
No, you're fine.
And JCA?
And I thought Sky was only having one shot.
I did. I told you I'm a lightweight.
He's already had it. Woo! No, I love this. It does you know, remind me of my wilder days a little bit. You know, you were looking for your shoes. I was trying to figure out where I was waking up.
Oh, my God.
We all get there sometime, you know what I'm saying? We have the embarrassing moments when we've been drinking before because we were too young at the time to understand what we were really supposed to be doing. Youth and drinking, they do some pretty interesting things and developments. That's just all I'm going to say.
Yes, they do. And Hatter?
Now to a woman, I wrote a little verse. If you want to know who really cares, find out who it was that held your hair.
This is true.
This is true.
Especially when you've got that long hair that wants to be covered in everything. It's not okay.
No.
Okay, so Burnt Stanza is a Scottish, it started in Scotland, but made famous by Robert Burns. He was very dialectal in his chopped up way he wrote, and his lines were shorter. But basically, the rhyme scheme is A-A-A-B-A-B with three long lines, a short line, a long line, and a short line. So the two short lines rhyme, and then the four overall long ones rhyme. And so it makes for a very frolicking cadence. There is no specific meter. They're not a specific size. It just has to flow right. And they're lovely, and they can be anything you want them to be. So there's something about Oracle and the Eyes of Hedony or some nonsense, which is a little sexy. Read that one. You'll love it.
Oh, well, send it to me.
Okay.
Send her the SoundCloud.
You can just type an Oracle. That's the only Oracle that's there.
Oh, I can do that.
Well, we are sitting in overtime right now, folks.
All right. Good. It looks like the party is over.
Yes, we are. And JCA, you get to close it out.
Well, I want to thank everybody who showed up here and I know if anybody is going to be listening in the future, we want to thank you for listening to us. AP, thanks for calling in. Sky, Hatter, and Rack, thank you for calling in. Sweet and Pretty, I've had a wonderful time with you guys co-hosting, and it's been greatly appreciated. You guys are awesome. And happy St. Patty's Day, everybody. Up of the morning to you. I just got to say that again. But we've had a blast, and we hope everybody enjoyed. And we look for the upcoming shows and on ATOV, and we'll be talking to everybody later. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for letting us crash your party. Thanks. Good night, everybody.